Hi, everyone. This is Isaac. You're listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. Today, we're going to go through several topics: Jay-Z and Beyonce, Kanye West, MK Ultra, Camila Cabello, XXXTentacion, Selena Gomez and her Illuminati symbolism for Petra Collins' A Love Story. That's right. She's playing in the bathtub with a face, and she's got an eyeball in her mouth. Ariana Grande, she's a Luciferian. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about a movie called A Dark Song, Scooby-Doo, Illuminati Confirm, and we're talking about some 70s Italian horror, so buckle up, folks. Yo! What's up, everybody? This is Isaac, and you're listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. What are we mad about today, folks? We're mad about the Illuminati. We're going to talk about several very interesting updates in the world that is pop culture and its intersections with the Illuminati. Because, you know, that's what we do around here. It's like the podcast is a Venn diagram of Satanism, ritual magic, and Transformers. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like, where do these things overlap? And that's where we dive deep. Because you're not going to see anyone else talking about this stuff, folks. No, no, no. We're gonna talk about a few things on here. I got a list compiled here. I don't know if I'm going to make it through, because I'm running out of bandwidth, folks. It's the end of the month. And, you know, there's only so much trash to talk. So I'm going to try to hit the big ones. Let's talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce real briefly. They released a new album together. And, you know, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of Beyonce. Not necessarily either Jay-Z anymore. I like Jay-Z back in the day, but he hasn't had a good album in, I don't know, 15 years. And so they released another album, and of course, not that many people bought it or listened to it. It came in second place in terms of sales, and all the stands out there, like Torre on you know, Torre, DJ on Hip Hop Nation. He was on MTV, I think. Anyways, they were standing it up, trying to find all the excuses as to why the album didn't come in first, how they got beat out by 5 Seconds of Summer, one of these, you know, boy band, whatever. And then they were like, oh, he says, oh, the album dropped on a Saturday, you know, and oh, the title numbers aren't included on it. And I'm just like, whatever, they're washed up, that's why. These guys are outdated, but they want to keep them on a pedestal because they are the modern day god and goddess. They are the archetype of that which shall be worshipped. But they're just humans, folks. But that's why Beyonce is doing this stuff with buying the churches, and they've got the Beyonce mass. And I talked about that on the last episode, where Beyonce and Katy Perry were buying up Catholic churches or centers of worship or nun convents or whatever. So I watched this video for their song titled Ape Shit, and it's filmed at the Loo, and it's got supposedly all this stuff in it that's all this deep meaning stuff that all these fake news outlets like BuzzFeed were, oh, the hidden meanings and the deep insight from Jay-Z and Beyonce that you didn't realize was in the video. But really, like, it's just a script. And I, in fact, got into a little Twitter squabble with somebody from one of these dumb websites about it, and you know, she said that they don't have a script that they're handed, okay, but it's not true, because these people don't come up with this stuff. So the video analysis, what I saw, you'll notice at the beginning there is there's a person with the angel wings. It's the fallen angel, the angel on earth. Again, we talk about the symbolism of Luciferian worship, which ties into that sort of thing. We see this many times. There's many videos from many artists where they're emulating the angel on earth. or the Earth Angel, if you want to take a look at my Back to the Future analysis. They were also at the Louvre, which of course means Jay-Z is going to be in front of the pyramids outside. You're familiar with the pyramids. There's the large one on top that most people are familiar with, and then there's the inverted underground one. That's the one below, right? You got the as above and so below. So he's in front of that. But, you know, the video is, it's unremarkable, because that's what they are. They're just not that good of artists anymore. And they had their day. They were good. I'm not saying they're bad. I mean, Jay-Z is certainly a better rapper than I. I'll give him that. And Beyonce can sing better than me. But it's just comical to me how the mainstream media wants to keep these people on a pedestal. I don't know why. I'd like to think it's because they are indeed in the Illuminati. If you look at all the symbolism they've given us over the years, it's pretty obvious that they're doing the symbolism of the all-seeing eye and all this stuff. And I'm sure they take their marching orders. And, you know, Beyonce with that weird thing she did at the basketball game where she looked like she was MK Ultra'd out. Which reminds me, by the way, there is a Kanye West song called Watch. I don't know whose album it's on or whatever, because it has Lil Uzi Vert on it as well. And Lil Uzi Vert, another rapper. Of course, his name is actually Lucifer, because if you say Lil Uzi Vert fast, you obviously hear Lucifer, right? Anyways, there's a song called Watch, and he has a lyric, and he says, first year it's Illuminati, next year it's the sunken place. Which is very curious, because of the obvious ties with MKUltra that the film Get Out had. I did an analysis on that. There's lots of Baphomet references in there. The solve and coagula symbolism. And of course, the MKUltra idea. The idea of mind control. Which comes up often in the research, because it's so odd how these celebrities and entertainers and musicians, they all seem to be under the control of something or somebody. Is it true? I don't know. I've never talked to one. But it seems very odd how they act and their behavior. You know, Britney Spears is obviously the best example here, but another example would be Camila Cabello. She canceled her tour that she was doing with Taylor Swift, allegedly from dehydration. Now, it's curious when they say they're dehydrated, because we've seen this from the likes of Wendy Williams, even Kanye West, when he had his little breakdown during the St. Pablo rants. They first said that these people were dehydrated. And it's like, how difficult is this, you know? Are they drinking too much? Too much alcohol, that is? Why are they so dehydrated? These people seem to have, you know, handlers. They got people that take care of them. Just drink some water, you know? Drink it. But they're saying that she canceled it due to dehydration. Now, what was curious is that she was formerly a member of Fifth Harmony. And several years ago, I provided somewhat of an analysis of that group because of all the symbolism that they gave us of the Illuminati variety. The all-seeing eye with the 666 hand over the eye. The MK Ultra mind control stuff with the monarch butterfly. The vow of silence. And I know people think that this might just be silly. And maybe it is. Maybe I'm overreaching, okay? But look at what the Pussycat Dolls, a very similar manufactured sort of pop group. There was a member. Her name is Kaya Jones, and she was talking about how they, in the band, these girls were ordered to have sex with men if they wanted to stay in the band. And she said she was in a prostitution ring, and how the people owned her and all this kind of stuff. I think she was even on InfoWars, if I'm not mistaken. And also in that same group, Nicole Scherzinger, she said something about selling her soul to the devil at one point. I talked about that in Sacrifice Magic behind the mic. I don't remember the quote verbatim, but it's something to do with how you had to sell your soul to be in that industry. And I believe she even went further to clarify the, you know, the devil in the details, so as it were. You know what? Actually, I got the book right here. Let me pull out. Let me just take a look. Hang on a second. Okay. Here we go. Singer Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls once warned about winning Grammys and Oscars in a deal with the devil in an interview on independent.co.uk. This is such a tough industry, you know. To make it, you really have to sell your soul to the devil. Then the article says, and has she? She turns her back to face the mirror and closes her eyes. Her makeup artist resumes her work. No, I haven't, referring to her selling her soul. That's probably why I haven't quite reached the top of my mountain. I mean, where's my Tony Award, my Grammy, my Oscar? Why don't I have any of those things yet? So, I mean, you have all these instances of these artists and celebrities talking about various aspects of MKUltra mind control or deals with the devil. And you see this over and over. And there's all these weird sort of breakdowns these celebrities have. And maybe, just maybe, it is their job. I'm sure that's not easy to be the center focus all the time. And I'm sure they're on hella drugs to keep going. Got to keep the money machine rolling, right? Like Shaq, he froze up on TV the other day for like 40 seconds if you watch the video clip. It was on one of those Sports Center type shows. And he just sat there, froze up like he just short-circuited. And, you know, that's the unfortunate side effect to, dealing with the demons in entertainment, I guess. Which actually reminds me, there is an article on Scientific American called Could Multiple Personality Disorder Explain Life, the Universe, and Everything? Says that a new paper argues the condition now known as dissociative identity disorder might help us understand the fundamental nature of reality. And I started to read this thing twice now, and stuff kept popping up. But it is indeed talking about dissociative identity disorder, which is tied to MKUltra, because the mind has various alters. We talked about this many times in the past with, even with Get Out. But I'm going to read that article and try to make sense of this and save you a lot of hassle, because it's kind of technical. It's kind of tough to get through. But I think it's very interesting that they're sort of saying that they're... Because, let me back out. So when I talk about the Illuminati many times, I talk about how the final frontier is the understanding of the mind. That is the ultimate pursuit of these sciences and the occult and all that kind of stuff. And in fact, that's what you see from Westworld, right? If you're watching, if you're current, and I'm not going to spoil the plot here, but if you're current, you'll see that that is indeed very important to the storyline. It's understanding the human mind and how it operates. So anyways, the idea that if you believe in some of these MKUltra sub-programs and the idea, if you want to believe it or not, that's up to you, the idea that they can fracture the mind and create these amnesic barriers and create these different alter egos and all this crap, that they seem to know more about that than they let on. These ideas of the different alter egos is very visible from the music industry. A lot of these artists have multiple names. Nicki Minaj, if you recall, she went through a period where she was going through all these various alter egos, like Roman Zelansky, I think she called it. A play on Roman Polanski, who has all of his weird ties. But anyways, yeah. So I'm going to read that. I'll give you more on that later on another show here. It's a bit much to digest. That rapper XXXTentacion, they supposedly found the killer. And, you know, as of this recording on June 28th, they found one killer and they're still looking for the other. But they're already kind of trying to say that this was like a plotted out thing, a robbery, and that's all. And maybe it is, and I hope so. Because if you saw my video about this on YouTube, I was alleging that Drake may have been involved, because X himself was trying to say that Drake was trying to kill him. So it seems that maybe not, if you want to believe the official story. But there's probably going to be more to come on this. So I'm going to keep my finger on the pulse, as it were. But I do want to talk about, there's another couple of artists that need to be talked about. Selena Gomez, she was in this creepy video called A Love Story by Petra Collins. And this was actually featured on this new Instagram TV feature on the Instagram app. And it makes no sense. Petra Collins is a Canadian artist, so don't even try to make sense of it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But this Petra Collins put this together, and you can see all these different symbols that we've talked about over and over again. You see Selena Gomez in a bathtub, and she is playing with a human face. Now, of course, the bathtub ties us into all the occult rituals and the idea of the cleansing ritual, Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina. If you've heard me talk, I probably talk about that every show, but the idea that these people are symbolically placed into a bathtub as crossing over into another dimension, a cleansing ritual, which is actually, we're going to talk a little later about a film called A Dark Song that was recommended to me by one of my lovely Patreon supporters. And that was a pretty cool movie. And if you watched it, you saw the bathtub thing, the passing over through the bathtub. Anyways, we'll talk about that in a minute. But when Selena's in the bathtub, she's playing with a face, which is real creepy. And then she's got this all-seeing eye in her mouth, which was obviously, connected to the idea of the all-seeing eye as a symbol for showing that one is aware of the Illuminati agenda. They're enlightened. They're evolved into the occult doctrines. We see this with films like Neon Demon as well, if you saw that, which is a pretty disturbing movie, but it's very interesting because we see all this talk about cannibalism in the mainstream media lately, trying to normalize that. Which, by the way, you go back in time to Aleister Crowley's buddy, William Seabrook. He had eaten human flesh. He tried cannibalism. He was the guy who wrote the first zombie book, the first zombie tale. He sort of invented that genre. Anyways, looking at Petra Collins, she was linked up to a mentor, they call it, by the name of Richard Kern. And if you know who he is, he's one of these extreme artists. I watched some of his art. There was, if you want to call it art, it was a video called Cutting. And it's about an Asian woman. And it's sort of like a documentary sort of thing. It's not really art, but it's this little documentary video he did about this Asian woman who cuts her leg up. And she even says that she's like into cutting and drugs and grotesque sex. Not my words. That was on it, on the video. She claims to take a handful of antidepressants a day. It looked like freaking 80 pills a day. And like, while I'm okay with people saying that this is art in the sense that art is supposed to make you feel something, and I definitely feel something watching this video, I feel a bit uneasy. I also feel like it's a bit exploitative because this woman is literally butchering herself. She's cutting herself with a blade. She needs help. She even says it herself that she's mentally disturbed and she's got depression. She says it all in this film that this artist did, right? So I moved on to another one of his videos. It was called Submit to Me, and it had you know, S&M sex and drugs and a guy in a gimp mask who gets his brains blown out and people bathing in blood. And I mean, it's more along the lines of something you'd expect from an extreme artist. Okay. It's reminiscent of, if you've seen the Nine Inch Nails Hurt videos, which I don't recommend to those that are easy to queasy, or Dave Navarro's, he had a music video that was sort of similar to that. It raises the question of how original these artists think they are. Like, how creative can it be if I've seen this sort of like extreme, violent, disturbing imagery, but I see it many times? Like, it's not that original. It's not that creative. Anyways, so both Petra Collins and Richard Kern, they were featured at this Museum of Modern Art, of course. And we all know the modern art movement was started by the CIA. They were using it to combat the Russians back during the Cold War. It was because the CIA was trying to show that the communists didn't have actual freedoms, and that America was so free that we could make these, you know, modern works of art that were questionably art at all. So anyways, I'm not sure where I was going with that, but Selena Gomez, anyway, yeah, that's right. So Selena Gomez, she was in this sort of modern art piece. Illuminati confirmed, basically. Ariana Grande, Illuminati confirmed. She was in the Light Is Coming, a video, a new song, which the artwork of her, this single, is her upside down, inverted. Could it be the inversion ideas of Luciferianism? Yes. The Light Is Coming is talking about the light bringer coming. Obvious analogy to Lucifer, the Prometheus character, the archetype of Prometheus. And Pharrell Williams, he produced it. So you know it's Illuminati, confirm. You know this man. He had audio on the song. And the audio is a repeating line of someone saying, "You won't let anybody speak." And if you look that up, you'll find that this came from a town hall in 2009 in PA that was called Town Hell. Because it was some, I don't know, contentious battle they were having with the mayor. I don't know what it was. Anyways, so again, there's another allusion to the idea of Luciferian concepts and hell. But look at the lyrics. The lyrics say, "The light is coming to give back everything the darkness stole." Huh. What do you think she's trying to say there? Who brought this darkness? Okay. Is she pushing a Gnostic idea of the demiurge? Meaning like the world that we live in is this false illusion and it's actually a prison? Or is she saying that God wants to keep us suppressed and the true bearer of light and enlightenment, Lucifer, is going to give us the light back? Ariana Grande was wearing the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, Tree of Life. The Kabbalah red string bracelet. Okay, she's aware of these topics. Don't let her innocent little smile fool you. Her or, who's her husband, Pete Davis, or fiance, or whatever. There's also lyrics that say, "Why do we have chemistry with a need for speed, doing things that trouble clings to and burns off our wings?" Again, it's the idea of the wings and the angel, the fallen angel, all that sort of thing. I mean, you could also say it's possibly to do with flying too close to the sun, that whole thing with Icarus. But you look at the ideas of Lucifer and enlightenment and light and hell and the darkness and all this stuff. And again, you got it right there. Ariana Grande. Let's get into the movie thing. I want to talk about a couple movies before we run out of time here. There was a comment posted by Ben on my Patreon feed. Because, you know, there are various comment threads on the Patreon feed. So if you're a member, hit it up. I'm reading them. If you're not a member, sign up. We're going to try to get to 1,000 supporters. Become one of the 1,000. Because once we hit 1,000, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a cult. That's right. I'm going to be a cult leader. That's what I want in life. So join now. Join now while you can. No, so Ben left a note on the comments, and he talks about this movie called A Dark Song on Netflix. Finally got around to checking it out. Pretty cool movie. Kudos, Ben. If you liked Hereditary, then you would like A Dark Song. It is pretty good. Now, there were some things, and no, there's no plot spoilers here. I'm not going to give away too much. But the guy's name, there's like a female and a male character that the movie's, you know, I can't even think. It's been a long day. there's a man and a woman. The man's name is Mr. Solomon. Mr. Solomon, of course. Solomon from Solomon's Temple. You go back to the inception of Freemasonry and esoteric doctrine, and Solomon's Temple had the twin pillars of Boaz and Jachin around the doorway because it was the entrance to the mystical place. So Solomon plays a very important role, and they say that Solomon was controlling spirits and demons with the Seal of Solomon, which looks like the Star of David. It's the inverted triangle and the upright triangle together. Which, you know, another idea is if you look at the triangle upright, that stands for the male powers, and the inverted is for female. And you combine those two and you've got the creative form, okay? Now, the female character, her name is Sophia, which in Greek means wisdom. I hear it every time I go to church at the Greek Orthodox Church. Sophia. During my one of two trips to church every year. But so anyways, interesting names, first off. So that was very intriguing to me. In the movie, you find out that they're using the Book of Abramelin. And, you know, I seem like I'm an expert on the occult, and I am. Let's be honest about that. No, but I had to look this up because there's a lot of like nuances to occultism and ritual magic that, again, I've never practiced this stuff. I'm just learning about it. I've read several books on it, but it's based on this Egyptian magician, not to be confused with the Jerky Boys. If you're old enough to remember the Jerky Boys, they had the Egyptian magician. But Abramelin was about this Egyptian magician who had this system of magic, and Samuel MacGregor Mathers translated this into the Book of the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage. And apparently this had a pretty strong influence on Thelema, which is Aleister Crowley's religion. So I found that very curious that this would come up in this film. Because they use the rites within that to channel her dead son. And then when she's talking, you find out that her son was abducted from a daycare, which sounded very similar to the Presidio and the allegations back in the days of the Satanic Panic of the 80s, which I question if that was so untrue or not. But anyways, there was this idea out near San Francisco that there was this organized ring of pedophilia at this daycare. And I talked about this in the Star Wars conspiracy. So if you've got your books, open it up to page 47. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what page it is. But I talked about it in there because there were connections to be had with, oh, I can't think of his name. I can picture him. He looks like Grandpa Munster. The dude from the Army Intelligence Corps, he was the PSYOP guy. Help me out. I know you guys know it. What is his name? Okay, I had to pause. I looked it up. I found it in my book. The guy's name is Michael Aquino, right? Temple of Set. He started that. He was this out-and-out Satanist who was a high-ranking officer in the army, and he specialized in the PSYOP, squadron or command or whatever it was. But anyways, there were alleged connections there. Supposedly, there was nothing to worry about, but they went ahead and plowed over this daycare center, because everything was fine, but let's just break this up just in case, I guess. And then who moved in on that territory? Industrial Light and Magic. That's right. Division of Walt Disney that gives you all your Star Wars indoctrination. Anyways. So that was interesting that she said her son was abducted from a daycare. Then, and again, I'm not going to spoil the plot. I want you to watch it. It's pretty good. There was this sort of massive crescendo at the end of the film. And I'm curious to hear how you interpret this ending, because I don't know. I don't want to give it away. Hit me up on the Patreon, comment on this. If you watch the movie, let me know what you think happens at the very end. That's all I'm going to say, but I've got my ideas about it. Maybe I'll talk about it here in a couple weeks. I'll give you a few months to catch up, and then I'll talk about it someday. Or you can hit me on the comment threads on patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. I got enough time. Should I do one more or two more? What do you want? I'm gonna do two brief ones here. Scooby-Doo from 2002. Shout out to Mia and KC. You guys both asked for this. You didn't know that. You both slid into the DMs and asked me on separate occasions, and I thought, oh hell, I guess I gotta watch it. I mean, I loved Scooby-Doo the cartoon, but like, I wasn't gonna watch the 2002 version. That looked like nonsense on the trailers. But I actually kind of enjoyed it. They actually did a pretty good job of bringing a cartoon to real life. It was actually pretty good. I mean, it's not like a super intelligent movie. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's stupid or whatever, but it was entertaining, because I actually wanted to watch it after I started making it through a little bit. But in the film, if you look on my Instagram feed, I posted an image of this. Go to Instagram and look for me, Isaac Weishaupt. Let's buddy up. But you can see on there, I've got an image of a pyramid that is seen in this movie from 2002. And it's a pyramid used for channeling spirits. Again, the Black Pyramid is very symbolic of this kind of stuff, of like we talked about earlier, the triangle of manifestation to summon a spirit. And this is precisely the plot of the movie. It's all about channeling spirits. And of course, there's like, a ton of sexual and weed innuendos in the movie. Something for the adults, I guess. But one of the reasons I was told to watch this was because there was a reference to Aleister Crowley in it, apparently. But I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. But I did a little research through my favorite search engine and found that there's actually a Crowley reference in the sequel. So I'm going to watch the sequel and see what's up with that. But the first one had a very interesting, they put these sort of macabre topics into these hot topics, if you will, into these films for kids and stuff. But this one's kind of like for kids and adults. But anyways, they know what they're doing. Finally, we're going to talk about a film called Suspiria. And this was put on my radar by the great Jay Dyer, guest on this show. I've been on his show as well. Jay's Analysis, if you know his website. But he referred me to this film about ritual, magic, and sacrifice. Because, if you recall, I was talking about Anthony Bourdain and his strange passing a few weeks ago on a podcast back then, and his girlfriend's name, Asia Argento, and her father, Dario Argento, was a famous director of Italian horror films, which has surprised me. I hadn't watched any of his films, because that's that's a particular niche that I really enjoy, like Fulci movies and stuff. And there's another one. I can't think of his name, but there's this sort of like subgenre of 70s Italian horror, and he did that as well. And I looked up Suspiria, and it turns out there's actually a remake being done. How ironic. But anyways, this film was about the occult, and in it you can see symbols like the Triangle of Manifestation. You see the resurrection of the body, like the zombie thing we talked about earlier. And you see that there's this sort of witch coven, and the leader's name is Helena Marcos, which to me reminds me of Helena Blavatsky. Now, if you thought I was making a stretch on that, I'm going to upload an image to, I don't know if I'll put on the Patreon feed and my Instagram or whatever, but there's an image in the film that you can see Helena Blavatsky in the artwork behind the main character. Now, it's interesting because the whole film is about bringing a dead body back to life, and they describe it as hell, which is curious because these occultists oftentimes talk about seeking this immortality. And you know, the Bible, if you want to look at the Bible for this stuff, it gives you advice and says that in the end days, man will seek death and not find it, which tells us that maybe living for eternity isn't such a good thing, living on this earth. Are these zombie films really just showing us what it's like to not die? It's a literal hell. A literal hell. That's me. That's my Alex Jones impersonation. But the zombies are not able to die. They are seeking death and not able to find it. And it's pretty horrific, really, if you think about it, or if you watch these films that depict it. But that's what you see in Suspiria. And I started watching the sequel. It's called Inferno. And it starts out with this book that's speaking about this alchemist who wasn't allowed to violate this code of silence called the Silentium. And he said, and they said that the reason why they do this vow of silence or the code of silence, it's a way of saving them, because the masses aren't able to handle the esoteric knowledge yet. It's too much for the simple mind to comprehend. And you know, the more I learn about these occultists, I don't know that they're so wrong, honestly. I mean, they're wrong in the sense that, like, I think they're being naughty with their things they do. But, like, I wonder if it's not true. Because, like, if I try talking to people in my daily life about the stuff that you and I are talking about right now, I get the most absurd looks. Most people can't even handle it. Like, they won't even address it. And they'll completely avoid the topic altogether. Whereas, like, if I met someone and they started coming at me with all this Illuminati, moon's fake, whatever, satanic witches, I would want to hear more. I'd say, okay, crazy person, tell me more about your crazy thoughts. But, like, people shut down. And I'm a pretty normal dude in real life. I don't know what... I mean, I guess so. Maybe people think I'm insane. All right, they think I'm nuts. But anyways, the point is, the masses can't handle these esoteric thoughts. And I agree with that. I don't think they can. What do you think about that? Tell me your thoughts on that. Hit me on the socials. Twitter at Illuminati Eyes. Don't bother with Facebook. I'm not going to read it. Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Or the best option, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, because I get notifications on all the comments there and I take a look at them. But let me know what you think of that stuff. I think I made it through all of it, folks. We did it. We got through it. I still got several topics on deck. I got topics on topics coming up on the future shows here. I got this big thing on Jack Parsons and, you know, his old lady, what's her name? Marjorie Cameron. Westworld, we're going to talk about season 2. I'm going to probably put that on its own episode, probably, maybe. That way I don't spoil it for people that don't want to listen to it. Kind of like I did with Hereditary. I want people to see that film before they listen to my podcast, because I don't want to ruin it for them. I got other stuff on deck. Anyways, Thanks for listening. I do appreciate your time, and I appreciate your listenership, because there's not a lot of people that can openly discuss these sort of things. So I appreciate that you got an open mind. So until next time, be your best for those who deserve your best.